All right. Well, we're on a new series this month talking about angels. Mentioned before, angels have been very underutilized by the church. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Most of it is through poor or false teachings concerning angels. They are necessary. I got a couple of grunts over here and said they are necessary. You know, we've all read about the accounts in the Old Testament and the New Testament and how angels were instrumental in ministering great deliverance for people and for nations. Without angels, Daniel would have been in a really real mess. You know, he said his angel stopped that lion's mouth or those lions' mouths. His angel did it. So we have all kinds of records about angels, and I want you to know that the ministry of angels did not stop with the New Testament. In fact, it picked up and shoved into a new gear. We're going to learn about that today. But the Mosaic Law was given by the disposition of angels, it says. Disposition means direction. They were directing Moses in the law. Angels appeared to Mary and told her she would conceive and bear a child and told her it would be the Son of God and that his name would be Jesus. The birth of Jesus in Bethlehem was declared by angels to shepherds. Shepherds were not, the pinnacle of society in those days. They were not. But yet here they are just doing what they do. And there's Gabriel. He said, don't be afraid. He announced exactly where he would be. And he didn't do it so much for the shepherds. He did it to let Satan know exactly where he is. Shoot your best shot. And you know what? The devil couldn't even show up for 2 years later. And by that time, they were gone. That shows you, man, the devil is, we give the devil way too much credit. Angels are powerful, I'm telling you. Joseph was given directions. The angel said, don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And then twice more, angel directed Joseph around so he skirted those who would have killed Jesus. So, and then in Acts chapter 8, Philip, it says the angel of the Lord came to Philip and said, go down this way, to Gaza. He sent them to Gaza, was in the news back then. And they got good news back then from Philip. So he went there. But anyhow, it is the Bible is loaded with information on, you know, it's great that angels spoke to those people, appeared to those people, directed those people, gave them insights in what God was doing back then. But that didn't disappear. Like I said, that didn't disappear just because we have the New Testament. You know, there's all kinds of stuff about the complete Word of God. We have the revelation of God, you know, in this. And so, like, a new dispensation happened. I'll get to that in a minute. But it's in fact, I'll do it now. We've let these things slip. And what happened is there's a word in the New Testament called dispensation. It appears four times. But it's the same Greek word that's also interpreted stewardship. And if you look at the definition, it's a word, oikonomia, is what the word Greek word is. And it is, you know what it means? Stewardship. And somehow, they did the same thing with the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. It means he is above all of creation. He answers to nobody. That's what sovereign means. But they've turned it into this thing like we're all puppets on a string and God, everything, and God's sovereign over every little detail, every side. There is plenty going on in this world that is not pleasing to God. It is not his will. Because this is a fallen, broken, twisted, curse-filled world. And we got to understand, none of that is God. He has given the keys of the kingdom to us to operate and to work. And part of that kingdom is the ministry of angels. Now, we need to understand this and know this, because otherwise we're going to come up way short. It is a valid ministry. It is validated all through the Bible. Turn with me in the scriptures to Hebrews chapter 1. The book of Hebrews, by the way, if you're familiar with it, it holds deep, powerful revelation. It tells us, it lets us know what happened from the cross to the throne. It tells us about the history of Israel in the light of what we have now, looking back to the cross and all the mistakes they made so that we could avoid them. And it's pronounced in Hebrews, saying that the word of God was given to them, but it wasn't mixed with faith. We've got to mix all of these things with faith. But today for our October series, we're talking about the amazing ministry of angels, and we have got to know their purpose if we're not going to know how to cooperate with them. So the book of Hebrews, the first chapter really sets the tone for the whole book. And in the first chapter, it really spends time talking about Jesus, separating him from the angels, separating him from as the unique Son of the living God, that there's nobody like him. It says in the first chapter that the angels worship him. That means, is there a ring in this? Okay, can we do something about that? Where was I with that? The angels worship him. You know what that means? That makes Jesus no less than God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. He is the second person of the Godhead. He is the only person of the Godhead that is revealed to us. And angels were instrumental in ministering to him in his ministry in a numerous ways. So, and I also believe this. So when I say Paul wrote, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I mean, it's the capstone and the completion of his entire revelation. It's everything. He didn't put his name in there because he was writing to Hebrews and they hated him. So he figured if he took his name out, it'd be easier for them to receive it. You know why? Because he just wanted to get the word. He said, my heart's desire for Israel and prayer to God is that they would be saved. Now, there's another doctrine. You know, we treat Jewish people as if they're, yes, they are children, and God has promised to be kind to them. Yeah. But if Paul prayed that they would get saved, that means they weren't saved.
That's right.
That means they rejected Christ. That means even a Jew has to receive Christ in order to be saved. Yeah. So we've got to get that out of the soup and in clear vision of what needs to happen. And I'm telling you, there's a huge revival going on among the Jews. Thank God for Sid Roth and people like them and Jonathan Barrett and these guys who are just taking the truth to the Jews every single day and getting them saved. There's angelic activity there too. So, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13, we're going to start there. Angels are mentioned in verse 4, verse 5, verse 7, verse 13 and 14. So out of this 14 verses in the first chapter, angels are mentioned five times. That's big. That's important. So verse 13, it says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? Jesus said this in the Gospels. It's three different times in the Gospels. He quoted it from Psalm 110, verse 1. But to which of the angels did he say it? I need to sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, let me say this, because we're going to need some mind renewal on this. In the original manuscripts, this was a letter that Paul wrote. He didn't write down verse numbers. He didn't write chapter 2. It was a continual thought. So pay attention to this now. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, he said, therefore. What's the therefore? Therefore. Therefore, what's he talking about? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth? He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to these things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word of God spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, this is where we need mind renewal, because you know what? We all came from some kind of a religious background. I was brought up in a Presbyterian and Congregational church. We didn't know what we believed. They told us they'd take care of that. They didn't mention the blood or anything like that. No. No, people might leave. See, fear of man. That's what the Pharisees, you know. Anyhow, so when we have these things that are lodged in our, it's like an anchor that hits the bottom and keeps us there. And we can, and the truth can be floating right over the top, and it'll fly over your head like a 747. It just won't, you're not ready. There's no table on your heart that's ready for the truth. And so it just disappears. And Jesus could walk up to you in a green robe and you wouldn't even recognize him. Do you know what I'm saying? That there are things here that we need to understand, and to do that, we need to be open and be willing to adjust our thinking and get rid of the old thoughts. Because we do this so many times. We read our own meaning into the Bible rather than letting the Bible interpret itself to us and letting the Holy Spirit magnify it in us and illuminate to us the truth that will make us free. This is starting to take off. So it says we shouldn't let those things which we've heard, we shouldn't let them slip. What have we just heard? We've heard that the angels are given as ministering spirits sent forth to minister or serve. That's what minister means. It means a servant or serve. To serve those who would be heirs of salvation. That's us. Praise God. Now, here's how most of us have read that verse. How are you going to escape hell if you neglect the salvation that Jesus made available through his blood? That's what I read it the first time. I said, whoa. Yeah, if you neglect that. He's not talking here about the new birth. He's not talking about the salvation of your soul. He's not talking about that. This is a continual thought here. He's not referring to the new birth. He's not referring to being born again. And just because there's a separation of chapter 1 and chapter 2, we think this is going into a new layer or a new thought or something else. It's not. It's a continuation of the original. If you read it in context, I like what Andrew Womack says about context. He says, you can take anything out of context, and if it's not in a text, all you got is a con. That's Andrew. I like that. It's just plumb thinking. It's just really good. That's why he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The word salvation here in context with the subject of angels refers to preservation, soundness, healing, and deliverance from temporal evils in this world. Why would we need any kind of salvation in heaven? When you're there. It's not a fallen world. There's no brokenness. There's no sickness. There's no danger. There's no powers against us. I love that song. He is for you. We sang it this morning. He is for you. He is for you. Heaven is for you. And when you get there, you're going to realize that you are the apple of God's eye, and you're going to know it like you know that you know that you know down in your knower that you know that you are loved, and he is for you. He always has been, always will be. Praise God. So what he's saying here is, how are you going to escape the evils of this present world if you neglect the great deliverance that comes by these supernatural beings called angels? If you were to look in the spirit right now and see the demonic realm that's against you and what they're pitting against you and what they're plotting against you, you'd be afraid. Your first would be, I mentioned this earlier about Jesus in the garden when he was being arrested. And Peter cuts off the guy's ear. And then he said, put up your sword. He said, don't you know, this paraphrase, but don't you know that I could pray the Father and he would send 6 legions of angels? You know, a legion was 6,000 men in those days. 12 legions is 72,000 angels. Ready to annihilate. Ready to... He could call them. He could call, ask the Father to send them. You know, it's a big question. Should I send the angels or should I pray the Father? Well, it depends. But there's scripture for both of them. God just wants you to have the angels available to you. God wants you to know that they are available to you, to protect you, to guard you, to give you a message, to do war for you, to beat the foes that are against you. You need supernatural help because demons are supernatural. They're not natural. They are spirits, fallen spirits, dead spirits, but they're filled with hatred, resentment, rebellion, and everything else. And all they do is lie, 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 lie. You got the truth living on the inside. Now, here's the difference. Angels are out here. They are not God. They are not divine. They are not anything. They are created beings. The Holy Spirit is not a created being. He is in here. So it's very important that you understand and get the inner witness. If an angel appears to you, and they're starting to appear to a lot of people, or if you're getting a visitation that you can't see them, but you know their presence is there, you need to discern, is this a dark spirit, a liar, appearing as an angel of light, or is this an angel? The Holy Spirit will just tell you, just ask him. He is sent to lead us and guide us into all truth. He will tell you. You know, and then people say, well, I'm not going to get involved in any of that then. No, that's fear talking to you. Okay. So how are you going to escape the evils of this world if you neglect such great deliverance? You need the supernatural ministry of angels. It is necessary. It is essential. Now, let me say this. Do you remember when the Biden administration labeled the churches as non-essential? You know why? What have we done with the ministry of angels? What have we done with that? Have we called upon them? Have we believed them? Have we said, ministering spirits, go forth and make the word of God come to life in our life? Come and make the word of God to be fulfilled on our behalf. Have they done that? Have they spoken? Angels need to hearken unto the voice of his word, and we are the only ones in this world who can give voice to it, the church, the body of Christ. We need to do that. A lot of this lies at the doormat of the church. Wrong teaching, false teaching, deluded teaching, you know, camouflage teaching. It needs to be brought out in the open. God is saying we've let this thing slip and we need to bring it back. Because it is validated all through the Bible. God provided deliverance for you. God has provided it for me. He's provided it for all of us. But like anything with God, unless you believe it and act on it, you're not going to get the benefit of it. You have to believe it and you have to act on it. That is the only stipulation, is faith of receiving, entering in and receiving the benefits of these ministries. You're saying, why don't you just get to the point? I got to get there. But there's I got to do something first. You know, with the ministry of, we've done the same thing with tongues. The church has. I say we don't do that, but the first church I went into was a dispensationalist church. Tongues is of the devil. You know, that's really, they said that. It's of the devil. And then they come out with somebody who knew somebody whose brother had a cousin who, you know, and they gave it tongues, and somebody said in the church that was, they were blaspheming God. Well, that's what they said. I know what the Bible says, though. It's totally different. And if you go by the Bible, you're not going to go wrong, because the Bible is the Word of God. So, anyhow, then I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, got the left foot of fellowship from among the dispensationalists, and that was that. So, and I went to the Spirit-filled church, and I was 4 years in the Spirit-filled church, but it was all Spirit and very little Word. And there was a charismatic movement. We had miracles. We had things like that happening. But it was very little as far as what the Word actually says about living a Christian life, living by faith, walking by faith, prayers of faith. All of that was like, you know, God's responsible for everything. But here's what I'm saying about tongues. You know, Paul used up a whole lot of New Testament real estate talking about tongues. And the difference between the gift of tongues and praying in tongues and the prayer language and all these different, and he spends all this time carving it out. And then he asks one question in 1 Corinthians 12, where he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of tongues. He's saying, do all speak in tongues? So they all kind of scrambled to that scripture. Says, see, not everybody speaks in tongues, so we don't need that. You know, if God wants me to have it, I'll have it. Well, what happened is we lost a huge section of the church to that kind of talking, that kind of thinking, that kind of believing. Is that if God wants me to have tongues, I'll have. And that's probably because you were taught wrong. I know I was. In the charismatic church, I finally got the Holy Ghost. But you see, they'll latch onto one question that's not even talking about your prayer language or praying in tongues. They're talking about, and they're wrestling, and they're saying everything's on that, so God doesn't want us to have tongues if we're not speaking in tongues. And what happened is we lost a whole section of the ministry of angels when that happened, because when we speak in tongues, don't we speak the tongues of men and angels? So when we stop speaking in tongues, or when we don't speak in tongues, when we speak in tongues, we are giving assignments to the angels. They are being commissioned tasks when we pray in tongues. They are uniting on five continents to make everything we pray come to pass. It's the wisdom of God. And when we do it by revelation of these things and we understand what's happening, how powerful is your mouth? Is your words, is your tongue, and they come out of your heart, they are formed by your tongue and sent out. And that's how the angels know what to do. I got three amens for that. Praise God, I'll pray for the rest of you in tongues. You know, Jesus said this. He said, if you confess me before men, if you confess my name before men, I'll confess you before the angels of God. Do you understand the Last Supper when he said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it? In my name. In my name. Do it publicly. You know, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for you right now, the prayer of faith. You see somebody who's hurting in a store or whatever, who was it? Sammy, you were in Walmart.
No, I was in Sam's Club.
Sam's Club, one of those. Sammy. Sam's Club. And what was a little child? He hit his head. Wow. And so she prayed for him. You know, ministry opportunities are all around you. And you, listen, If Elisha was surrounded by horses, chariots of fire, they were just waiting for him to say what they wanted him to do. They were just waiting for his words. And we have a better covenant based on better promises than Elisha had. What are we waiting for? Start praying in tongues and then pray that you may interpret. And then God will give me the interpretation. Then you can be in sync with them. This whole thing is designed for you. God is for you. Oh, yeah. Charles Capps, he was teaching on angels in this church in California, and the spirit of prophecy came, and he started prophesying to this church because angels were instrumental in obtaining that building. This is a timely message for us, isn't it? Because we are looking for a new building, and so are the angels. They're doing it. And then the Spirit, so he was prophesying to them. Then he pointed to the pastor of the church. He said, angels are going to appear to you. They are going to speak to you. He said something else, but I can't remember exactly what it is. Well, about 5 months later, he called him back and he says, hey, Charles, this guy just gave me 900 acres of land. He said, wow. He said, not only that, but I was preaching at another church. I was traveling, preaching at this other church. And I was staying in the hotel. I was pacing back and forth and, just praying in tongues, praying for the meeting and preparing myself to hear from the Lord. And then I turned around. There's two angels standing there in full armor. Armor was bashed and dented in like they'd just been in war. And he says, well, what are you doing here? And they said, we've come to fight for the finances of your church, if you let us. Wow. He said, go! And just like that, they were gone. Wow. Now, that church was in severe trouble. Severe trouble. They had to come up with over $300,000 of what they currently had. Otherwise, the bank was going to take the... And this was a... The bank was in... They were in cahoots with somebody because they were trying to take this land, the church... They had another idea for that building. They could make a lot of money. So anyhow, on Monday morning, they needed over $300,000. Well, on Sunday morning, the Monday before they needed them, a man walked in with two checks totaling over $300,000, to the exact penny of what they needed. Wow. Tell me that this doesn't work. Tell me that angels aren't there for you, fighting for you, but they need direction from you. They need license because ever since God created Adam and gave him dominion over all the earth, that never changed. Even when Adam fell, he still had dominion. Dominion means the right to live in and exist in a realm. The devil doesn't have a physical body. He has no dominion here. He needs human cooperation to get anything done. We are the mud he has to wade through to get anything done. And if he can deceive you to doing his will and everything, and to doing the wrong thing, he'll deceive you and get you in agreement with him. That's his job. But man has dominion in the earth. That didn't change with the fall. The devil can't just do stuff. He needs human cooperation. Well, so does God, because God is a spirit. Jesus said that too. And in order for him or his angels to operate in this realm, they need our permission. He gave us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And part of that kingdom, the big part of that kingdom, is the ministry of angels. And we have to know how to cooperate with God and how to use the angels for that. They want to be used. They want to be assigned things. I mean, could you imagine these angels looking at us saying, man, I am so filled with power. I could solve that in the blink of the eye of a gnat. And they're saying, and then all of a sudden they hear a voice, angels, go forth and make our way full. Fulfill the word of God on our behalf in Jesus' name. What do you think they're going to do, go? Is that all right if I do that? No, they're waiting for you. Everything's in place. Just you are the ones who release. And here's the thing. When Charles Capps was prophesying to the congregation because the angels were instrumental in getting them into that building, He said, because you have released your angels, they are going to do much more for you now. Not only that, but here's the other thing is, the pastor of the church had 900 acres to work with now. If he gave 900 acres, why wouldn't he give you materials and building and contractors and everything that would work for you? God has plans. We limit him by our thinking, not taking things out of the closet and making them work. See, you gotta take this out of here and put it here. Praise God. Psalm 91, verse 1. Let's go back. Yeah. He who dwells, he who lives, abides, he who lives in the secret place of the Most High. Do you have that secret place that you can go and just get before God? It's there. God gave it to you. If you don't have that secret place, it's because you didn't take it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. You know, there are people who are pretty powerful in this world, and they're lauded as being high and powerful people. I'm talking about the Most High. The Most High is bigger than all of them. I was in Colorado looking up at this 14,000-foot peak. God is big. I mean, you know, he is big. He is bigger than this solar system. He's bigger than the universe. He is so big. If you saw him as he is, you'd be afraid because he could just move and not see and crush you. But he knows everything. He knows everything about you, your every cell in your body, every atom that makes up. He knows it all. He created it all. Every atom is held together by the name of Jesus. I mean, you think about that. An atom is made up of protons and neutrons. And the nucleus is protons and neutrons. Neutrons are... they're not positive, negative. They're neutral. That's why I call them neutrons. And so the middle has positive and neutral. There's nothing holding them together. And it says in Colossians that in him, in Christ, who's the Word of God, all things consist or all things are held together. Every atom in the universe. Look, you got a big God. He is so very big. I mean, he is big. And he loves you. Big. He loves you big. So I will say of the Lord, verse 2. See, there's something you got to do. You got to say something. You got to believe it, act on it. You got to believe in it, say it. This is the operation of salvation. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess him as your Lord, you shall be saved. Salvation begins in it, and all the benefits of salvation, including the angels who minister to the heirs of salvation, is all in your mouth and in your heart. That's how close it is. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall trust. You know, in John chapter 8, the Pharisees are giving him garbage. He just got that woman delivered who, you know, he said, let he among you who is without sin cast the first rock, and so forth. And they started challenging him, and da 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 da. And it got to the point, and he says, you know, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. They said, what? Yeah, and he rejoiced in it. He said, you're not even 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. They picked up rocks. And what did he do? He walked right through their midst and walked. What is that? That's God covering you with his feathers, with his angelic feathers. And this happened a lot of times. They picked up rocks to stone him. They wanted to throw him over a cliff. They wanted to do this. They tried to get him a lot of ways. And God, I believe Jesus had a real big guardian angel. He was major big. And he was right there, ready to do that. You know the angel that's over Donald Trump? Just like that. They're on the job. They're Johnny on the spot. Praise God. And in Luke chapter 4, they were going to throw him off the cliff in Nazareth. And that's a big cliff right there. He'd have been gone. It's covered. Cover him with your feathers. You don't have to fear. You may be in a jam. You may be in a tight spot. You may have people who want to, I know they've wanted to throw me out on a rail several places, but you know, you get into religious people and you get into religious mindsets and you start coming in with the word of God, and I'm telling you, turn like a snake. They just do. But that's okay. Jesus said, you shall tread on snakes and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You know, if you give people the truth and they reject it, there's no fellowship there, but at least you tried. Praise God. You can walk out with your self-respect. Questions? Well, I'm going to skip that. I'm going to quote this from Charlie Shedd, who wrote a book called Brush of an Angel's Wing back in 1994. Charlie Shedd, S-H-E-D-D. He said this, angels are not looking for publicity or visibility. Apparently, all they have in mind is to get their assignment or their assigned job done, and they don't do anything that does not reflect glory back to God. I'm still getting that ring in my mic. The fact is, he said, that that is the image that the Bible presents, that they surround the throne of God, their wings outstretched, so that the glory of God is reflected back towards God, rather than be absorbed by the angels. The light they bear is the reflection of God's glory. It's not a glory, that the angels claim for themselves. You know, there's something we can take from this. We can adopt two of their mindsets, the lessons that come from them. And number one is, have a mindset set to get your job, your task, your assignment done. Oral Roberts said that. He said, once you have heard with God, number one, confer no longer with flesh and blood. Why? Because if you heard from God, you have faith to get it done. But if you confer with flesh and blood to get some counsel or some wisdom here, they didn't hear from God. They don't have the faith that you have. They'll talk you right out of it. He said, confer no longer with flesh and blood. Then he said, get your job done at all costs. Spare no cost at getting your job done. He told this to Kenneth Copeland. He said, do these three things and you will always succeed. Once you have heard, find the will of God. Once you have heard from God, confer no longer with flesh and blood. And number three is, get the job done at all costs. Praise God. But look, if you have that, get your job done at all costs and don't do anything that would not reflect glory back to God. You know, this is what Jesus did, his whole ministry. Is he our example? He is our example, isn't he? All right. Well, he said, I always do that which pleases my Father. Didn't he? He always brought glory back to God. He never took credit for one sermon. He never took credit for one miracle. He said, it's the Father in me. He does the works. It's the Father in me that does the works. You know, you ought to jump up in the morning and say, it's the Father in me, the greater one, who does all these things, who thinks his thoughts through my mind. He speaks through my mouth. He lives in my heart. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, except when I'm in the golf course. I started agreeing with the devil the other day on the golf course. And I said, man, I'm just, it's not my day. You know, I'm just balancing. What am I doing? I am saying exactly what the devil wants me to say so he can keep it going, prophesying my own doom. But by the ninth hole, I had it straightened out. So I had a good drive, and I had a good approach shot, and a good chip onto the green. We parred that, right? Okay, well, that's because John couldn't putt that one then. Because we play best ball. But I got it straightened out. But you got to straighten this out first. You know, and the thing is, the angels, man, they're spiritual machines. They really are. I mean, they do take things personally sometimes. You know, in fact, one time, I think it was in Chronicles, but God said, watch what you say, because the angel of the Lord is coming. He will not forgive you your trespasses or your offenses. Angels are not there to forgive. They're there to execute God's will. That's just the way they are. So be careful. You know, Laura and I release our angels every single morning. Angels of heaven, go forth. Make our way prosperous. Make our way successful, safe, and very prosperous in all facets of life, spirit, soul, body, and financially and relationally. We release our angels. We've been doing that for 40 years. They don't get tired of hearing that. In fact, they're waiting to hear that. You know, they're like a waiter. You know, you ever go to one of those fancy restaurants and they have a towel like this and they're just waiting for you. If you just look a certain place, they say, yes, sir, what can I? That's the way they are. That's what angels, they are ready. They're more ready than we are. But Jesus living his life to glorify God. We just talked about this last week in John 7:17. John 7:17. If any man will do his will, God's will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. In other words, am I just blowing smoke here? Am I just, you know, speaking out of my own head? Or is this the doctrine, the teaching of God? He said, if you are willing to do his will, you'll know whether this doctrine is mine or whether it's of God. And he said, verse 18, see, he that speaks about himself, of himself, says King James, he that speaks about himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks the glory of his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Do you know when you're seeking the glory of God, your mind is flowing in the same direction as the angels? You will pick up on their presence and their ministries quicker, and you will understand what to do. I was dumbfounded one time. I was pacing, this was back in the early 90s. I was pacing up and down. I was making confessions in my living room. We lived in a townhome at the time, and I'm going back and forth, and I'm just confessing. The scriptures are just flowing out of my mouth. And when I turned around like this, an angel, I didn't see him, but I knew, came down from over the front door, and he's right in front of me, and I stopped dead in my tracks. I knew it was an angel. You know, I've had the presence of Jesus come into my room too, and I know it was him. In fact, I started laughing. I couldn't help but laugh. And Lori was in the bathroom, and she said, what's so funny? I said, Jesus is here. And it's like, yeah, he was. But this time, the angel. And I realized later, after I read a few books on angels, that especially Charles Capp's book on angels, that they're waiting. He was waiting for an assignment. He was right there waiting for me to tell him what to do. Because here I am confessing the word of God, the word of God, the word of God. And that's what they hearken to. I can tell you guys are getting a little on the restless side. I've got a ways to go here. I can pick it up here next week. The purpose of angels is to serve you. It's that simple. You don't have to impress them. You don't have to promise them anything. You don't. No. They are there to help you in your walk with God. Now, let me just say this too, but in closing. Sometimes the devil will see, okay, he's getting angels, so they try to pretend they're angels. And there's always something just a little bit off. It's just a little bit off. If that's the case, you say, in the name of Jesus, leave my presence. That's all you got to do. They don't want to answer to the myriad of angels that will fill your room if he does it. You know, Satan is still shaking from that blow that Jesus laid on him when he rose from the dead. He's still shaking, quivering. And that's how hard he hit him. He doesn't want to hear that name. He doesn't want to be around that name. He doesn't want to be around the holy angels. He doesn't want to be around any of that. He doesn't want that. He wants you to give him audience, which will give him a right to do anything. So just stand your ground. Say, in the name of Jesus, leave my presence. And then turn around. Do you remember when Marcus Decimus Meridius, in The Gladiator, do you remember when he turned his back and walked away from the emperor? He says, how dare you turn your back on me? Well, I have every right to turn my back on you, devil. You don't have, you know, they try to intimidate you. They try to con you and convince you that you need them. You're going to miss out. No, I'm going to get out. You're going to get out. Angels are real. I want you to know something, that as we get into this series more, you're going to see some things that are going to make you just can't wait to get in my prayer closet, can't wait to get in the Word, can't wait to get some revelation on this thing. It's going to be good. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, Father, for your presence here. We thank you, Father, for the angels that surround this building, that are in this building, that worship you from this sanctuary and in our children's ministries, in our church, in our school. Lord, that you are active and present all the time. We thank you for being faithful to look and watch over your Word, to perform it, to make it good on our behalf. Teach us as we go on about angelic ministries that have been put into place for us to take advantage of and to use and not let them slip. In Jesus' name, amen.